Palisade Radio is preparing to release an in-depth report on the fundamentals of uranium, including our top three picks for 2019. Sign up today at palisaderadio.com to be the first to receive our exclusive report.
Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell. On the line with us today, we're having him first time to the program. You know the name, Ross Beatty. Ross, welcome to the program, and thanks for taking some time to talk to us today.
It's a pleasure, Colin.
I want to talk a little bit about the gold market as a whole, and then talk a bit about your experience in the market, what you're seeing today, and of course, what you're working on now. Many years back, you were the founder of Pan American Silver. What year did you found that company in, Ross?
Well, I'll back it up even more, Colin. I began my first public company in 1985, which was called Equinox Resources. I sold Equinox to Hecla in 1994, and the same day, or maybe the next day after a couple of hours of rest, we started Pan American Silver from a standing start. It focused on trying to build one of the world's, or the world's, preeminent silver mining companies.
Excellent. And in terms of the kind of timing that you started Pan American, that would have lined up not too far before BRIEX would have happened, and hence a bit of a tough market to build a company in. Is that the case?
Well, you know, cycles come and they go. And, you know, if you're trying to build a long-term business, you just sort of put your head down and go and cross your fingers and hope that the tide comes in or the tide comes out accordingly with respect to macro markets. But, you know, when you're just trying to build a company, you pretty much, you know, grind away and the markets do what they're going to. And at the end of the day, if you focus enough and if you have a long-term strategy, generally speaking, I think you're going to succeed in your strategy.
That's a great perspective to look at it on. I want to ask you some questions based on the experience you have in watching the cycles of the past, kind of where you think we are at today. We had a bit of a uptick in the market in the beginning of 2016 that lasted for a few months. It was a very fun and violent move up. And since then, things have been kind of trading sideways. Do you think that was the beginning of what we can call a bull market?
Yes, I do, Colin. I certainly was kind of getting ready for that in 2014-15. I was focused mostly in those years building a clean energy company called Altera Power. And so I wasn't really building up any precious metals company at the time. I was working on that company. And yet I really fell in love with the cycle of where gold was at. And the market was so beat up in 2014-15. Especially towards the end of 2015, I invested a lot in various companies, took quite sizable positions in, I don't know, 10 or 20 companies, all focused on gold because I was quite convinced that gold was ready for a breakout. It did have that breakout in early 2016. All of those companies did really, really well. They all kind of doubled or tripled almost overnight, as you mentioned there. And so I would see that very much as sort of the first leg of another bull market that I think is going to, you know, blow through the previous high of $1,800 or $1,900 announced back in 2011. Just a lot of reasons for that. And for the same reason, I think, you know, because bull markets don't go always in one direction, there's always corrections. You know, we have had a correction for the last couple of years, actually. And it was a bit surprising to me, the sort of magnitude of the correction, not so much in the gold price. The gold price has held up quite well. But the real correction has come in the gold equities. They've just been hammered. And so I would say today represents another really great time to buy gold equities, kind of like it was in 2015 all over again. I do think that we're starting another leg up in a bull cycle. And I think we're going to be very well rewarded, anybody who's invested in gold equities in the next year or two.
Ross, thinking back to that big bull market in the gold equities we had, which, say, started in 2001, 2002, and we can claim it went through 2011, but let's just stick till the 2007 period before the crash. What was it like for people who don't remember? Was it a steady rise up in the gold equities? Was it something where you had a jump up and then you had a long kind of correction? How did it feel?
Well, all markets are a little different. All cycles are a little bit different, but certainly, like I said earlier, there's no such thing as a bull market that just goes up nonstop. The one in 2000s, the first decade of 2000, was a really strange one because it wasn't just gold. It was copper, iron ore, coal, you name it. All the commodities just went bananas. And this was largely driven by a very secular one-off kind of event that happened in China, this huge industrialization phenomenon that was, prompted by 15-20% annual growth rates in the Chinese economy, just huge consumption of commodities to build up their infrastructure and so on. And that did come to a sort of a temporary halt in 2008, but really it was juiced up again with heavy amounts of indebtedness in both China and North America and Europe, trying to pull out of the financial crash that happened in 2008. And so that really continued until 2011, when everything kind of got toppy and started to correct. And so that correction is sort of still with us today in many metals. It's kind of bumpy. It's not just a one directional move, but things have been correcting since 2011, generally speaking. And I would say we're really due for another nice little run up, and not just in gold, but in a bunch of things. Now, this is all due to quite strange things happening right now. Trump has certainly been disruptive in lots of ways, resulted in a very strong U.S. dollar. That has an impact on all kinds of commodities. There's, that one-off tax reform that happened that brought huge amounts of money back to the United States, juiced up bond markets and equity markets, generally speaking. You've seen all the massive run-up in the tech stocks and so on. And now we're having some corrections because these are kind of one-off economic stimuli that just aren't sustainable. So it's not surprising at all that we're seeing corrections right now in the major markets. And I think this is, again, going to be quite positive for precious metals. Maybe not so much so for the base metals, but certainly the precious metals.
Ross, I think it's fair to say that a lot of gold investors are shy about participating right now for the mere fact that they're concerned the Dow might see a sell-off, things that we're starting to see play out now, and they're thinking back to the immediate past, which would be the 2008 crash. A lot of factors are different, of course, because at that time, gold and the other commodities were at a high instead of a low. But still, the idea that an equity sell-off hurts all equities, mining included, has some people worried. What is your thought process on that?
Well, generally speaking, I don't disagree with that. The one exception really would have to be precious metal markets, gold and silver specifically, because even in the battering that happened in 2008 of all markets, gold was the best performer by far. And even in 2009, 2010, it came right out of the gate and went up to record highs by 2011. So, we've got recent history that shows that gold specifically and silver as a family member will do well even in a financial meltdown. And of course, it will outperform everything else. And so I think it's still a reasonable thing to hold for insurance, for safety, and as a different type of investment product that should outperform everything else if that were to come. And I would say the odds of that happening are pretty high. I think it's a very high likelihood scenario that we're going to have a meltdown in major markets in the near future.
Let's talk specifically about what you've been working on for the past couple of years, Equinox Gold, of course, using the name of your first company that you mentioned, Equinox Resources, a company that trades on the Venture Exchange under EQX. And I must mention that we are shareholders, small shareholders, albeit. Ross, can you give us a bit of an overview of what you intended to build in putting Equinox Gold together?
Absolutely. So I mentioned already that I really like gold. I like gold right now. It's a really beautiful metal, and it's a fun thing to do. I got into Equinox Gold because I decided to sell my clean energy company last fall. So I didn't want to retire completely, so I decided to start something new. I really like gold, as I said, and it's a metal that's, for all sorts of reasons specific to gold, it's something that I think the market is ready for a new, mid-tier or even larger gold mining company. This is a big challenge for me. It's achievable, though, just because of where we are in the cycle. There's quite a few distressed one-mine companies. They need to be consolidated. And so we started the company in December by putting three companies together we have a fabulous production profile right now. The company is only 10 months old, but it's already made its first acquisition of a producing mine in California, the Mesquite mine, which is around 140,000 ounces a year. We have another mine that will be starting up in January in Brazil, called the Aurizona mine. It's again around 140,000 ounces of annual production. And we have a third project in California called Castle Mountain that we're planning to build our third mine on next year in a two-phase development, the first of two phases. First phase will be around 50,000 ounces. It should be up and running, you know, towards the end of next year. And that'll give us a production rate on a sustainable basis of about 320,000 ounces a year. So, or 330,000 ounces a year. And then there's another, you know, whole leg of growth behind that in phase two at Castle Mountain, phase two down in our Aurizona mine. So it's got this fabulous growth profile right now, tremendous earnings capacity in a few years as these mines are built up and are shown that some of the debt that we've taken on to construct them is repaid. And I'm just looking forward to really building this company into a really, really big gold name. And as you said, it's got the same name as my very first company. For me, it's really a way of ending my career with bracketed by Equinoxes. And I'm really looking forward to building to working with a really strong management team that exists in the company today and building a really big, big name, taking advantage of the existing gold market as it is, with the added benefit, I think, of the tide's going to come in, the gold price is going to keep going up in the next, you know, 3 or 4 years. And I'm just really looking forward to that all happening and making some real money for shareholders.
You made a point earlier in the interview, and you just touched on it a bit again, which is that cycles come and go, and if you're dedicated enough and you have a will to build a business, eventually the cycle will pick up and you will benefit. Building a business and making acquisitions in this space, you're certainly seeing opportunities in that things are cheap, mines are mismanaged, they can be bought, but you're also fighting against your own share price at any given time. So can you just talk to people not so familiar with the business, what it's like kind of just operating and picking things up and using the market to your advantage?
Well, you nailed it perfectly, because it's very easy to say you want to build by, you know, mergers and acquisitions and build by building things and increasing production that way. But it all costs money. And that's easy to do if you have a really, really expensive stock that you can sell stock at a high price and minimize the dilution relative to, say, a company that you're buying that might be really undervalued. And so that would be a really accretive kind of a transaction. It's much easier to say than to do. And if you give away your stock at a low share price in a bear market like we're in right now, you know, you potentially, every single share you issue reduces the ability of your company to go, you know, to have capital gains in the future, unless you buy really, really smart deals, unless you leverage them to some degree with some careful application of non-recourse debt. But it is much easier said than done, as I said, and it's always the trade-off between, you know, equity dilution, which serves to limit your upside in the future, every share you issue, against the compelling proposal of strong accretive growth, which will make you into a multi-billion-dollar company if you succeed in your mission. And that's very much our mission. So, you know, there's no real magic bullet. Treat your capital like it's your own money. It's very precious. Don't blow it on stupid deals. And you know what we're going to try to do is we're just going to try to outperform everyone else and ultimately get fantastic leverage to gold, both in production and in reserves and resources, so that when the gold price goes up, we will be out of the gate really able to reward our shareholders better than most other companies. And that's my objective and my mission and my strategy.
I was speaking to my geologist in Nevada a couple months ago, and he made the point, having done work in California in the past, that California is a state that almost the entire thing is filled with gold. And then you go over to Nevada and you have these trends, and then you go over to Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, and you have these dots. And just talking about how much of a shame it is that California, as a jurisdiction, for some political reasons, some environmental reasons, has been mainly shut off. And it's great to see Equinox come into the state and try to build a mid-tier production company around flagship assets in California. Can you talk a bit about why you chose a jurisdiction that's maybe considered a bit risky?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's no question California is very, very green and has a lot of people who want to, you know, protect and preserve the natural endowment of the state. You know, having said that, it's been pretty hammered in an awful lot of ways already, but let's forget about subdivisions and sprawl and things like that, and malls and car, you know, freeways and things. If people really want to reduce destruction, they might look at themselves in the mirror before they point any fingers at other players like mining companies. But anyway, we are there. I've been there before. We operated the American Girl Mine back in my first company, Equinox Resources days, which was down in Imperial County, southeastern corner of California. It was successful. Glamis Gold has been successful there. There's been lots of successful companies in California. It is difficult and painful to permit. There's no question. You have to do the right thing. You have to dot the I's and cross the T's. But once you get your permits, once you do things properly, it's really a great place to develop operations. You know, you have to be careful, but you have to be careful anywhere in the world. You have to do things right. Mines can be reclaimed, and mines, actually these days, even the Castle Mountain mine, that was an old operation for about 10 years, you can drive by Castle Mountain, you wouldn't even know it was a mine, apart from one of the pits that's there. I mean, the way they reclaim the leach pads is just unbelievable. I could hardly recognize that they were once leach pads. So mines can be reclaimed well. When you operate them, you have to operate them well. You've got to do that anywhere, whether it's Nevada, Wyoming, Arizona, or California. So, you know, we're happy to be there. It's a real gold mining state, as you mentioned. And we have a couple of really good assets there we're going to work on. But of course, we're also going to have a more diversified asset base. We have Brazil. We have a big copper project in Ecuador that's in a spun out copper vehicle that we own 40% of. And this won't be the end of the story. Having three operations won't be the end of our story. We'll have other ones in other locations. If there's one thing I learned from the Pan American experience of having up to 8 mines in different countries, in 4 different countries, was the strength of a diversified portfolio. You know, one day you might have a problem in one mine or one location, but you make that up with a better than expected situation in another mine or other location. So the strength of size and scale and diversity is absolutely real. And that's what we want to get to become, a large, diversified gold mining company, providing our shareholders with the very best possible leverage to higher gold prices. That's our mission.
Ross, as I'm listening to you speak, I have questions kind of just popping up that I can only ask a person that's run multi-jurisdictional, multi-asset companies. When you're building a mid-tier company out, there are good deals, good mines to acquire that are only 50,000-ounce producers. But of course, there's got to be a threshold on how many things that your team can juggle and what the sweet spot is on picking up an asset of size. So how do you pick what kind of assets go into the company?
Sure. The first thing I would say is you have to sort of size things right for the size of your company. If you're now, you know, we have a line of sight. I can see in 5 years or so, I can see us producing more than 500,000 ounces of gold a year just from our existing three assets. So adding another asset that's only 50,000 ounces a year is just not going to move the dial for us. Whereas adding another asset that might produce 200,000 or 300,000 ounces would. By the same token, our market cap today is only about $500 million, $600 million. So if we went out to try to acquire something for $200 million, just like we did at Mesquite, this mine we just bought in California, well, it was a sort of a $200 million purchase all in, and we were able to finance that $120 million of debt and $75 million of equity. And that limited our dilution. So our dilution works out to about 15 to 20% of our existing float, our existing market cap. It's a very accretive acquisition for that dilution. So I'm always trying to look at how much we have to give up for what we get. And, you know, I wouldn't look at something that would cost us $500 million plus, because it would have to be really, really good and absolutely certain before we would do something like that, because otherwise, if it goes wrong for any reason, you're really risking the whole company. And I don't want to do that. So there's a right size in ounces, there's a right size in cash flow, a right size in what it's going to cost us to acquire. That's really the, you know, the trick of doing the right kind of M&A that's going to help the company and not potentially burden it. And so I can't give you anything more specific than that, but those are general criteria that we use.
I think it's fair to say that the end goal for anybody involved in this business is that gold prices go up and you get a real magnification or leverage point of the production of ounces that you're trying to produce. But looking at Equinox against other companies that are in a similar threshold, and thankfully we have analysts that do this because they get confusing as you have more and more assets, but is Equinox cheap compared to other companies that are out there right now?
Well, you said it right. I mean, you use the word magnification, and it's actually more, I've never really heard that term, but it's actually even a nicer word than leverage, because it's more specific and a kind of plain English. So what we're trying to do is truly build an asset base that will be magnified in its value once the gold price rises significantly. Magnified. It'll be an order of magnitude or a couple of orders of magnitude more valuable to the extent that we get a significant rise in gold. That's what you want to build if you're trying to build, any company, but particularly a gold company right now, is something with opportunity for scale, large size. And that's exactly what we're doing with what we've done just in the last year. And I just think we've been hitting the ball very, very well. And I'm just all fired up with what we have going for us right now.
Excellent. Well, let me ask you one final question. I guess there was a time when you weren't as wealthy, you weren't as successful, you weren't as experienced in the space. And there's a lot of listeners we have that are, really believe in the narrative that things are going to turn. They're just hungry for any type of advice or education or to get to a spot or just partially a spot of where you've made it at this point. But the market's tough right now. A lot of people are down and down quite a bit and wondering how to best capitalize on this space. So just any advice you can offer for those speculators or investors out there?
Well, you know, when you buy speculative stocks like in this space, you know, you obviously have to have a diversified base. You have to have a number of names, focus on management, focus on the quality of the project. You know, but it is a market that even in a bad market or a down gold price market, if you have an exploration success, like you had in GT Gold this year, a few other companies like that, for example, you're going to have a pretty good capital gain if you pick the right stocks. That's hard to do if you're sort of an amateur investor. You know, there's no substitute for doing the work, for listening to radio programs like yours that bring in people who've had plenty of experience in the industry, going to conferences, you know, buying newsletter writer research that is credible. And then again, having a diversified pot. You don't sell at the bottom, sell at the top. Now, you never know when the bottom is or the top is, but believe me, the top is not now. This is a bad time to be selling. If you can afford it, pick up a portfolio, some early stage exploration companies, some larger cap stocks like ours, companies with growth, companies with solid management in reasonably decent locations. Those are good things to own as a portfolio. Gold, I think, will do well, and try to hang on to those. Remember that you've got those assets as a leverage play to higher gold prices. Nobody buys a gold stock who thinks gold's going to go down. So, you know, be somewhat resistant to the notion of selling them just because gold makes a sort of a 5% or 10% move. Because I think the big move is going to reward everybody with massive, massive gains, just like it did, as you pointed out earlier, back in 2016 when gold broke out of a five-year down cycle and we had that wonderful little run. And I see that potentially happening again in the not-too-distant future. So this is a time to buy. This is not a time to sell. If you have a portfolio of assets that includes smaller-cap companies that are well-managed and have good assets, they will be bought. They will be bought, giving you really great capital gains, even though those companies will never get to production. Somebody will buy the assets. That's the kind of company you should be looking for on that end of the spectrum. On the other end, you know, the really big companies like the Barricks and so on, they have limited leverage because they're multi-billion dollar companies. And it doesn't take any no exploration discovery is going to move their dial. It's purely kind of the gold price of what that does to their earnings position. But they're kind of boring companies. So it's that mid-tier like ours, and there's a handful of companies like Equinox that offers that opportunity, relatively low risk, relatively good upside. But everything in this game is a balance of risk and reward. High risk, high reward, low risk, low reward. It's just that simple. But if you believe in gold, you ought to have a significant portfolio of these stocks because they will always outperform the gold price when it rises.
Ross, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your insights and coming on the program with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw materials. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on?